The Rift, 1692, produced by Christopher Tarn. Episode 18, The Jewel.
Mistress Dodd, I presume.
Indeed, sir.
Oh, fuck.
You were saying, Cotton.
I was saying that...
She is Melia Strand. In our defence, Your Honour, we have far more evidence to present to prove the innocence of my daughter. Cotton?
Yes. Regarding the overriding dependency on spectral evidence, it is my view that whilst we must take this into consideration, it cannot be relied upon as proof of guilt. We appear to be in danger of falling into the trap of listening to tales of townsfolk hanging from good people's rafters in corporeal form.
Your Honour.
Increase. You wish to speak?
Hang on a second. We haven't finished outlining our...
Silence, Captain. Continue, Increase.
Thank you, sir. It is simply a question for my son.
I don't like the sound of this.
Cotton, do you or do you not accept that spectral evidence plays a role in determining witchcraft?
Of course, Father. I have just stated such.
Yet it is insufficient. And in your, and indeed my own belief, such activity must be backed up by further weighted testimony.
Naturally, Father. And since...
Mistress Dodd, are you prepared to swear on the holy book that Hex Alexander confessed to witchcraft?
I am.
Hey, look, this... I'm... Cotton, come on, man. Speak.
Master Corwin, the same?
On the gallows, she made full confession of her sins. She admitted to being a witch. She denounced our Lord and Saviour as foul and damnable.
Just a sodding minute. That I absolutely did not say.
Silence, girl. Captain, control your child.
Your Honour, my father is speaking out of turn. It is unfair of him to usurp my opportunity to present my case.
And Sir John, is it your intention to present the accused witch Elizabeth Proctor to this court to state that which she was privy to, namely, a third confession?
It is, Increase.
Then, Your Honour, must we waste any more of your precious time on this charade? Knowing the outcome is inevitable.
You're not answering your phone. Harry Fitzgerald here. You have gone very fucking quiet, my friend. I got your message, but I couldn't give a fuck. I go down, you go down. It is that simple. You don't get to play both ends against the middle. I pay you for information. And I am hearing some very disturbing things about my relocation plans. Things I should have heard from you, not some mouthy little snitch trying to strong-arm me. Deal with it.
You do not look happy to see me, Jonathan.
Ah, look what the cat dragged in. If it was a choice between you and bubonic plague, I'll take the boils. Every time.
How did you think this was going to go down? That I wouldn't double-check? I'd just presume the rift was closed. You know, for a moment, I almost did. I took the copter to Abashe. I dropped your friend and mine, Grigoriev, in what passes for a hotel. And then I thought,
Grigoriev?
The father of the line.
You've lost me.
Or someone had to bankroll the project. And I suppose that in a way, you did.
Look, you talk shit most of the time, Dodd. Mullen, whatever.
If you hadn't persuaded him to get you to the rift in double quick time, he'd have been none the wiser. But you had to go and be the white knight to Jack's rescue, didn't you?
Right, look, can you go now? I was just about to have a nice shower and watch some EastEnders chill a bit.
Where's the fragment?
You've got the 1888 shard. You go and find it for yourself.
Actually, I don't. Mr. Grigoriev insisted they stayed with him for safekeeping.
Didn't take long for you to start the old, he says jump, you say how high. Ow! Fuck! Fuck!
I tried to be gentle, Jonathan. Despite appearances, I am actually a soft-natured creature.
You are a fucking psychotic narcissist with delusion to... Fuck!
Where is the fragment?
You think I'd still be here if I knew?
You're in chains. It's not like you had a choice.
I don't know.
See, I think you do. Jax is out of my hands now. The trial has started.
What?
And your friend Robert is making an absolute pig's ear out of defending her. She is most definitely going to the gallows.
All right, look, I'll make a deal.
No, that ship has sailed. So tell me, where is the fragment?
I do not know.
Jesus! Look at me, Jonathan. You see this?
Yeah, very nice. Outside decoration, is it?
The terribly kind jailers gave it to me. It's called The Pear of Anguish. Has a ring to it, doesn't it? I knew nothing about it, but I absolutely love the concept. As you can see, it does resemble the fruit, but it's segmented. It can be placed in any orifice, though apparently the mouth is reserved for heretics. I didn't know that. So we'll rule that out. Then, the screw at the base is slowly turned, and wonder of wonders, the segments open like leaves. And, well, I'm sure you can imagine the damage this will inflict, and the utter horrific and oh so beautiful pain it will cause as it does.
You're deranged.
I'm a pragmatist. I simply want to get back to some creature comforts. Not so hard to understand, is it? In fact, here's a thought. You could come with me. You have a skill set that would come in very handy. I'm serious.
Yeah, right.
Why not? You want to die in a dungeon in Salem protecting something that will give you no benefit whatsoever? As opposed to helping me find all of the fragments, returning with me in triumph to 2061, where you will be fated as a hero, given a place on the line.
Look, Zara, I'm scared, yeah? I'm being real now, I am scared. I faced down a guy with a shotgun once. He was having drug hallucinations. He'd already killed another cop, or he had his finger on the trigger. Any second, bang. I talked him down. 6 minutes, they said, felt like hours. So yeah, I know what fear's like. And here, now, it's 10 times worse. You've got me, so believe me when I say, I do not know where the fragment is. So using that thing on me, it's not going to make the slightest difference.
Bravo, Jonathan. We thank you for your service. But look how beautifully you lied last time. But it's fine, don't fret. I shall be using this on you.
I don't... What are you talking...
Anne. When I return, it will be with Anne. And you can watch me destroy them.
No. Get back here. Mullen, listen to me. Mullen!
Lautner.
I'm here. There's no need to snap.
I'm not. I've sussed it.
Ah, wonderful.
Seriously.
Again, truly wonderful. I am pleased for you.
Are you pissed off with me?
What do you think?
Oh, for God's sake, man, grow a pair, will you? I'm trying to juggle a major case, Fitzgerald, and find my partner, my friend. You can't say that.
I'll tell you what I can say. I can see that I have tried my hardest to fill the boots of someone you seem to believe has sun rays shooting from their fundament. I have bent over backwards, I have kept confidences, I have given up my time day and night. I've been hospitalised, and I've asked for nothing, nothing. My job is to investigate crime, to prevent crime. I do that. I pride myself on how I go about my work. I was ecstatic when Jensen told me to fill in for Swift. I have the utmost respect for you. I saw it as an opportunity to learn from the best, but well, you are sarcastic, vindictive, and sometimes when you have a bee in your bonnet about something, you fail to see the bigger picture. Our focus is the Fitzgerald case. You lead us, but you're not with us. And that is dangerous to a team. Done.
Wow.
Might I carry on with my work now?
No. No, you'll stand there and you'll listen.
Oh, here we go.
I'm sorry.
What?
You're right. Everything you said. Absolutely right. I have been so determined to find out why Swift is fixated on the hospital murders that I've completely taken the team, for granted. Flynn's out there somewhere, still no sign, but there are people working on that. My focus is Fitzgerald. I'm a good copper, a bloody good copper. But you, truth, one day you were going to be a better one. Will you accept my apology?
Yes, ma'am. Happily. Thank you.
Now, do you want to know what I've worked out, or not?
Gentlemen, You have served well on both the grand jury and now this petit jury. I will take no more of your time. I swear. You gave clear direction that the girl here, Hex or Jax Alexander, be set for trial. And despite Master Corwin's blatant disregard for the due process of law...
I object to that accusation.
Object all you wish. The facts are the facts. Bringing an accused to the gallows without trial is an absolutely disgraceful act. And you ought to know better, sir.
Preposterous. 'Tis you allowing this unheard-of defence to be heard.
Silence. Gentlemen, pray listen. I invite the Master's Mather to conclude their argument, after which you will consider a verdict. Increase?
Thank you, Master Stoughton. The court has heard testimony from Mistress Dodd, from Master Corwin, and from the accused's friend and fellow prisoner, Elizabeth Proctor, that she has confessed to the charge of witchcraft.
Father, if I may.
I shall give way to my son.
Might I ask that you disregard the evidence of Elizabeth Proctor? It has been agreed by all here that Proctor demanded time with her husband in return for bearing witness.
Yet Goody Proctor is with child. She cannot hang. To do so, as we know, would condemn an innocent. Would she not have been expected to plead for mercy for her husband, as opposed to visitation?
Perhaps. But do we know that she will not bear witness against others? Speak of conversations apparently heard only between two? And if she does, will those demands not grow imperceptibly until freedom for John Proctor is among them?
I have no issue with the jury disregarding Elizabeth Proctor.
Thank you, Father.
Given that we have the word of Mistress Dodd and the Honourable Master Corwin, and of course the witch's close bond with the demon Agaris.
Alleged bond?
My apologies, Cotton. Alleged bond. Gentlemen, what are we? What have we become if we allow ourselves to be swayed by the actions of a father in distress, a man who will claim anything, seduce the mind of anyone, my son included, if he feels it may protect his offspring? Ask yourselves, would you not do the same? Would you not bend any and all to your will?
No, I'm not listening to this. Robert, I'm going to have...
Please. Seriously, my life is on the line, please. Just this once.
And yet, to ignore the testament of upstanding citizens of this town? To believe they might take their own damnation in hand by swearing on the holy book, yet speak falsehoods? No, my friends, no. To refuse to believe, that way anarchy lies. Captain Alexander believes his daughter innocent and will do all he can. I respect this. I admire this. But ask yourselves, do I love my son any less than he his daughter? And yet here I stand, prepared to besmirch Cotton's reputation for the sake of truth, honesty, and the law.
I'm dead.
The when. It's the when.
Okay, so how will that make a difference?
No idea, but it's worth a go, ain't it? It was all fours. The three pages all numbered four. The what three words clue fourth word, so being here at 4:44, we might learn something. Time?
4:43.
Well, at least there's no school kids on the way home. No noise. If it's a sound, we'll hear it.
A sound?
I don't know. Maybe you left an alarm that goes off at 4:44 each day that's in the place of whatever it is that he wants us to say.
Look around, ma'am. We checked everything. I've even dug more holes whilst we've been waiting. It's not Kew Garden foliage, is it?
Found a body once, because his wristwatch alarm went off. He was stuffed up a chimney. I mean, we'd have found him eventually, but saved us a hell of a lot of time.
Oh, that's gross.
Oh, you're as bad as Swift. Try getting him into a morgue.
4:44.
Okay. Shush, shush, shush.
I wasn't the one.
I said, shush. Okay, fine. No alarm going off.
Was worth a go. Back to the station.
Aye. Better to somewhere I'm at Dubai booking. I'll pick you up at 3:30.
Ma'am?
We've only done the afternoon. We're going to try 4:44 a.m.
Oh, good grief.
Bet you're wishing Jensen had assigned you to Clark State now.
The thought had crossed my mind.
3:30. I'll bring coffee.
If anyone sees me letting you in here, I will lose my position.
Better than losing your life if I claim you witch.
Yeah, oh, go on.
Sir, I brought you a jailer's key.
Shh! Shh, shh, shh. Where did you get...
I stole it from the other jailer. The French one. When he was in his cups in the tavern. He has not made complaint, it is gone. He would be held responsible.
It opens the door.
No, sir. Only the shackles. I'm sorry. It is all I could do.
You have to keep away from Dodd.
Yes, I do not trust her. She may be inclined to...
Anne, stay away. The woman intends to hurt you. Badly. To get me to tell her where the fragment is.
Oh, I do not think her capable of harm, sir. Simply to...
Listen! I am not fucking about here.
Your language, sir. It is not fit for
Forget
a...
Forget my language. I'm trying to keep you safe. She's threatened you. I know her of old. She will do exactly as she claims. Get away from here. Hide somewhere, anywhere. I'll find a way out of here, and I will meet you by the pond when the town is asleep, when it's dark.
What if she sees me?
Make sure that you hide well. Make sure no one sees you. You are in a lot of danger. Now go!
My father speaks eloquently. He speaks, as always, truthfully and with care and diligence. Yet the truth he speaks is his truth. It is based on the belief that all are honourable. It holds to the notion that to lie is damnable. And yet, I put it to you that there are those in this court today who have placed a hand on our holiest of tomes and lied and lied and
Order.
Lied again.
Order!
Master Mather, I trust you have proof of these most outrageous claims.
I do indeed, sir. I have the sworn word of Master Miller,
How
who has...
How dare you? How dare you impugn my word? This is a slur
when
on my very...
When did I claim to speak of you, Master Corwin?
You said that...
I said that some had borne false witness. One must now conclude that, in the words of Bishop South, guilt upon the conscience like rust upon iron both defiles and consumes it.
You young coxcomb. You stand there in defence of this witch whore.
Who is he calling
hush,
a witch?
Leave it to Cotton. He's got this.
And this draggletail strumpet.
I've never been called that before. It's a ringtone.
Stop it now.
Sit down.
One more word, and I will lay you out. Don't you dare use that language to describe my
and
daughter.
And here comes the stag. Here stands the very fountain from which the harlot sprang. Pull your muffler higher, hide your pocky face, go home and scrape your mangy ass.
That's it.
Captain Alexander, take him down.
No, Master Stoughton. Leave him to me. You have shamed me in front of my peers, sir. I demand satisfaction.
What is he talking about?
Master Corwin, barbarism has no place in our society.
It is my right, sir. Is it not?
Well, sir, there remains no law against it. It is indeed your right.
Then I demand this man meet me on the morrow on the edge of the forest beyond the town boundary in the manner of honourable men. Good day, sirs.
What just happened, Cotton?
Why did you not just stay silent?
I'm not with it. What
Tomorrow, at dawn, you and Master Corwin are to duel.
Written and performed by James Gaddis. Also featuring Louisa Bedell, Susie Stanley, and Earl Warwick.